This is Stephen Strang. Today on the Strang Report, I'm going to deal with a video that has gone viral in which a Kentucky pastor shares a series of dreams that are very foreboding. It seems that everyone's talking about it. At least a number of people have emailed me the link to see if I saw it, and I've analyzed it. I've talked to Christian leaders, and today I'm going to share my opinions about the prophecy that includes some very serious things happening in the month of November in Washington, D.C., so stay tuned.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back. A lot of times I interview people on The Strang Report, and today I'm going to talk about the turbulence that's going on in our country and how different Christian leaders are dealing with it, including this Kentucky pastor whose name is Dana Coverstone. He is the pastor of Living Word Ministries in Berksville, Kentucky. That's an Assemblies of God congregation. And he had this dream on June 24th of this year, and put it online a day or two later, and in just a week or so, it's had well over a million downloads. And, you know, dreams and prophecies and what is happening in the spiritual realm is something that, of course, that we deal with in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, have been for years, but frankly, the whole world kind of ignores this, including the rest of the Christian church. There are whole segments of the Christian church, particularly in the Calvinist tradition, who just reject this out of hand and think that those who teach it are kooky. And in the 45 years I published Charisma, I've had to deal with that a lot. And, you know, part of the reasons they think it's kooky is because a lot of the stuff that comes out is kooky, like in 1998, where a man wrote a book on 88 reasons Jesus was going to return to earth in 1988. And you know, Charisma had not been around very long, but I remember that, and a lot of people took it very seriously in our circles. And of course, nothing happened, except the guy sold a whole lot of books, and one of the Christian television stations here in Florida apparently raised a whole bunch of money with kind of what I considered to be scare tactics back then. You know, 12 years later, when it turned from 1999 to 2000, there was a whole lot said about Y2K. And basically, all the computers were programmed in such a way that once it passed from, you know, 19 so-and-so to 2000, they were all going to go crazy. You know, we heard that computers wouldn't work, the banking system wouldn't work, traffic lights on the streets wouldn't work. Basically, a breakdown of society. And I was never too concerned, but I did remember this, and it gave me pause. When I started Charisma in 1975, our subscriptions were the only thing we computerized, and they were with punch cards, the kind with the corner cut out, and we had a firm that did it. I think it was called COBOL, and you know, they would put on there when subscriptions ended, and we had some kind of promotion in our early days, and we offered lifetime subscriptions. It was never really clear if it was the person's lifetime or Charisma's lifetime, but we raised some money, and I found that they put them on the computer system as 1999, which is apparently as far as their computer program would go. Now, you know, that was pretty primitive by our standards today, of course. And in 1975, 76, 77, whenever it was, 1999 seems kind of like the year 2050 does to me now. I mean, it's just so far in the future, I can barely comprehend it. And I remember that in the Christian community, they were very, very split. And I went to a couple of leadership meetings over a period of months, and they would sit around and talk about it. And I remember one, they went around the table, and everybody had to say, did they think it was going to be kind of the end of life as we knew it, or are we going to survive it? Now, as everyone knows, with the exception of a couple of very, very, very small glitches, nothing bad happened. But in that setting, about half thought it would happen and about half didn't. I remember one pastor said, well, they were glad they had a well on their church property, like people could get water. I mean, how long can you live on just water? And there were some people that said it was going to happen, and they wrote books about it, and they almost seemed gleeful because it was like their very negative theories about the end of time were going to be proven true. They thought everything bad was going to happen, and Y2K proved them true. And they almost were more eager to be proven true than to think about what was going to happen. You know, as you know, people were stockpiling food and all kinds of things. And even if you stockpile food, it runs out after a while. And not only that, if the neighbors have no food and they find out you have food, they're going to come and knock on your door and maybe take it forcibly. I mean, just very, very, very bad scenarios. So it was kind of with that background of covering this as a journalist that I watched the video by Pastor Coverstone. I had heard about it. I talked to one of my staff, actually, who was so upset by it, she could barely sleep. And I thought, oh dear, what is this? And then I heard a podcast by Dutch Sheets. You could check it out if you want to. It's called Conversations with Dutch Sheets. It's on another podcast network. And he gave an analysis. He did not name the video. He was not critical. But he analyzed kind of the whole thing about dreams and God's plans and purposes. And I thought really put it in a good perspective. And, you know, Dutch believes, and I talked about this in my book, God, Trump, and COVID-19, that he believes that a great, mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to happen as a result of all the turbulence that we're going through. And I certainly hope this is true. You know, we need not just revival, which is a bunch of people getting saved in a, you know, usually a local church or two getting kind of on fire for God, as wonderful as that is. We need a fundamental shift in the spiritual realm, in the hearts and lives of people, not only in this country, but really around the world. And I believe that there's enough credence in that that I actually included it in my book. And, you know, other people have said the same thing. Mike Evans wrote an entire book called The Coming Great Awakening. You can check it out on Amazon. And, you know, I had a chapter in God, Trump, and COVID-19 on what God is saying to us prophets. I believe it's one of the most important chapters in that book. And then another chapter called Understanding the Spiritual Aspects of COVID-19. And a third chapter called For Christians, What Does All This Mean? Which is really why I wrote the book, is what does all this mean with all this stuff going on? And what does it mean in light of the election that's coming up in November? And, you know, since I wrote God, Trump, the 2020 election in the summer of 2019, it went to press before Thanksgiving. Of course, the whole COVID-19 thing came. I had a chapter in there called Why Trump Might Lose. And one of the things is that the economy went in the tank. Well, guess what? The economy was booming, booming, booming. And all of a sudden, in 3 weeks, we lost all of the gains that Trump had gotten in 3 years. And I also talked about the radical left and just how extreme it was. And we're seeing that unfold before our eyes on the streets with these protests, some of which are peaceful, but many have been kind of taken over by the anarchists, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and other groups, and also some well-meaning people that just get caught up in all this. But we're seeing it before our eyes. So in light of this, I watched the video. It's about 15 minutes long. Pastor Coverstone, who I, as I said, I had not met. He's from Kentucky. And my brother lives up in Kentucky, you know, so I have some kind of frame of reference. He has a nice Kentucky drawl, I guess you'd call it. And he's humble. You know, he says people should judge it. And if on December 1st he's wrong, he'll eat humble pie. He didn't say it exactly in those words. And he did not come across as arrogant. It didn't seem like he was trying to build up his ministry. You know, some of these people who have ministries about end times and prophecy and everything else, you know, if they're able to predict things and it come true, their ministry actually prospers. And this is what I was kind of referring to before with Y2K. But, you know, he shares these dreams. He says that the first two, which were like in December and maybe in February, more or less, that he had prophesied the COVID-19 and also the unrest that we saw starting in Memorial Day with the death of George Floyd. And he said he'd shared this to men in his church. Now, undoubtedly he did, but there's no real public record of that. And, you know, covering the Christian community and more specifically the Pentecostal charismatic community, I have dealt with this over the years, usually with things happening and people saying, oh, I predicted that so-and-so. The one that comes to mind is 9/11. A whole lot of people indicated that they prophesied it or there was a reference in a book or something. It's, in my opinion, precious little evidence. Maybe they did, but, you know, a lot of people are afraid that they'll be wrong and they don't want to be ridiculed, so they don't really say anything. One of the reasons I wrote God and Donald Trump is because there were these prophecies that this unlikely businessman who did not exactly have a Christian lifestyle in the past would win the presidency, when just all of the evidence and all the polls and all of the pundits thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win. And I felt that this stuff needed to be put on the record. And during the campaign, when we started hearing these prophecies, and these prophecies were by credible people, Kim Clement as far back as 2007. I document all this in God, Trump, and the 2020 election, because I have quite a bit in there about the prophecies too. In fact, there's an entire section of the book called Understanding the Spiritual Dimension. And chapter 12 is spiritual warfare in Donald Trump. And chapter 11 is prophecies and signs in the heavens. And this is a little bit off topic, but, you know, Donald Trump was born on a, what they call a blood moon. And exactly 700 days after he was born, the state of Israel was born. When he became president, the day he was inaugurated, he was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days. And you know, these are not things I figured out. They're things I found out about, researched, and I just thought they were kind of interesting. But in there, I say prophecies by a number of people, going back as far as Kim Clement, who said that God was going to send in a disruptor and he was going to be in two terms. And a number of other prophets are saying that Donald Trump will be elected. And this is in spite of all the things that have happened, even since I wrote it, including the impeachment and COVID-19. And, you know, now the unrest, which includes peaceful protests, but also a lot of the anarchists are burning buildings and everything else. And then, of course, there are the looters, which is an entirely different issue, who just want to use the unrest to, you know, go into stores and just ransack them and take what they want. And, you know, it gets all kind of mixed up with the media coverage and everything else. And it's almost like everyone's depressed over it. Everybody in the country, there's just like this cloud over the country. And then this prophecy comes, and Pastor Coverstone says that these other dreams came true. And then on June 24th, he had this dream of, and he talks about a calendar and the months, the pages kind of flip up, and then a finger really emphasizes September, something bad happening in September, and then the fist kind of pounding the month of December. And then he says that there's all this unrest and roofs or banks are pulled off and money is flying through the sky and indicating superinflation, and no leaders, including Donald Trump, are anywhere to be found in Washington, D.C. in the dream. And he also says that Chinese and Russian soldiers are in the streets, and there's this absolute pandemonium and very, very dire. And he's telling people, look, your money's not going to be worth anything. You need to have gold and silver. You need to have food stored up. And to some extent, I agree with being prepared. I mean, I have food stored up, but it's more to make it through a hurricane when all the power goes out and all the refrigeration goes off and you can't go to the stores, but that's a couple of days. So what do we make of all this? You know, it's almost like things are bad and going to get worse, worse, worse. So I think that it's important to back off, to look at it, to consider what's really going on, because I, you know, later on, I or others will be analyzing this a little bit like we analyze Y2K. At the time, it was a big, big deal. Now it seems like no big deal, you know, 20 years later when we look back. So I am not a prophet. The dreams I have, and I dream every single night, they're the kind you can't remember when you get up in the morning. I do know that God spoke to people in dreams in the Bible. But I also know that it's hard to really say if something's from God or not. Or sometimes people can have something from God And it kind of gets all mixed up with their own interpretation. Pastor Coverstone, who's somebody I've not met, as I've indicated before, so I don't want to sound judgmental at all, but he comes from a dispensationalist kind of background. I mean, that's maybe an oversimplification of what the Assemblies of God believes. So this kind of fits into all that, you know, with the Antichrist coming and everything else, that, you know, it's just going to be horrible, horrible, horrible. Now, my understanding of Assemblies of God doctrine is that the church is going to be raptured and won't be here when all those really bad things happen. And, you know, he didn't really talk about the Antichrist or the false prophet or those kinds of things. He didn't even explain at all how the Russians or the Chinese were going to be there, because if they're going to be in Washington, D.C., they're going to be over the whole country. He didn't explain why Donald Trump wasn't there. You know, and it's possible that in a dream, which is symbolic, you know, he could have seen people in uniforms that he interpreted to be Chinese and Russians, but they were, I don't know, something else. Demons, maybe? I mean, do demons wear uniforms? I don't know. And when I saw it, it was like, is this like a nightmare that he was having? And is he interpreting it from God? I don't know. Time will tell. But I have to ask the question, what good is this other than to, you know, make us store up food and, you know, maybe not be surprised when it happens? But, you know, a lot of really, really, really bad things have happened throughout history. I mean, as recently as my parents' generation with World War II. I mean, if someone in, say, 1938 had predicted, just said things that we all can say about Hitler, rounding up the Jews, killing all these people, describing the atomic bomb, which nobody ever heard of. In fact, it hadn't really even been developed at that time. I mean, just think how horrible that would have sounded. And those things absolutely came true. I mean, you know, we're looking at it from 2020 hindsight. I mean, even today, what is going on in communist China or communist Russia or other parts of the world is just terrible. The Islamic terrorism that happens from time to time and the way that the Christians are treated in Islamic majority countries is very, very oppressive. And if that were to apply to us, we think it would be terrible, terrible, terrible. We really would. Sometimes when I hear about dreams and unrest in the streets, and, you know, we've had it before. The Democratic National Convention had a riot in 1968. I'm old enough to remember hearing about it in the news. There's been other kinds of riots and unrest. I remember Rodney King in the early 90s and the unrest that happened when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Cities burned, and that's likely going to happen again. It may even happen if and when Donald Trump is reelected. The left just may go crazy, especially since I believe that they are really overplaying their hand, and the God's hand is on Donald Trump, and he will be reelected. They may just go berserk, and we'll see kind of a repeat of what happened in 2016. So, you know, without any reference to this in particular, I just wonder if maybe predicting some of these things is not like predicting a hurricane in Florida. Sooner or later, it's going to happen, or an earthquake in Guatemala. You know, the whole part about the roofs of the banks being ripped off and hyperinflation and Donald Trump not being around and Russian and Chinese, yes, that's very scary. I'm not sure how to interpret it. So I'm actually going to do another podcast tomorrow in which I share with you what some of the prophets are saying. I have contacted a number of them, sent them the video link, and just asked them, without expressing my own opinion, how they interpret this. And I've gotten permission to share it. And later on, I may be able to get some of them on the telephone and interview them for podcasts as we seek to understand what is really going on. So I want to make clear that I don't have anything personally against this pastor. He seems like a very sincere person. He comes across as being humble. You can find this on YouTube if you're interested. You just Google his name, Dana, D-A-N-A, Coverstone, just like it sounds, C-O-V-E-R-S-T-O-N-E, and you'll find it. And there's a lot of comments on it. Patricia King and Lance Wallnau and a number of other people have opined. Some of them have very respected ministries. They all have their own opinions. I believe these people hear from God. I was able to reach out to Chuck Pierce and Ken Fish and a number of other people who I'll share in the next podcast, which I hope you'll listen to. But I just felt that from my stance as a Christian journalist, as someone who has covered this over the years, someone who has studied Christian history to a certain extent and has to try to make sense of this for people. And part of what I try to do is to sift through, separate the wheat from the chaff. We generally report on people who we consider credible. We generally give a certain amount of disclaimers. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in terms of dealing with this is the scripture in 1 Corinthians that says, now we see through a glass darkly. And I believe that that's true with the prophetic. But when God speaks to people, like my friend Frank Amedia, who has had a very specific word, you can also find it on YouTube, in which he believes that something pretty catastrophic is going to happen in September, but he believes that God is supernaturally going to intervene and rescue Donald Trump before the election. And I'm hoping to get him on a podcast coming up, or you can just go to his own POTUS Shield ministry and see some of the things that he's posted. He's very prolific about posting these things. You know, I think that we need to not just believe one person. We need to take counsel from the whole body of Christ. You know, even Proverbs says that in the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. And we also need to realize that the world does not, you know, we can have all this turmoil within Christian circles. Sometimes it's like a tempest in a teapot. The secular people don't even hardly pay attention to it. Now, if it gets really, really weird, they cover it just because it's weird. That's part of what journalists do. I, with my books, God, Trump, the 2020 election, and I hope that you will take time to read it. There's a lot in there on these prophecies. I say very specifically that I believe that Donald Trump will win, and I explain why, both from a kind of a political and historical sense, as well as researching what other Christian leaders are saying, and also from the prophetic. And I believe that it's important to put it in writing, to put it on the record, and in a sense, Pastor Coverdale has done that by going on YouTube. He could have just shared this with people in his church. Also, the response, I think, indicates that within the body of Christ, there's an enormous amount of interest in it. I also think there's an awful lot of fear, and that, you know, they see something like this and say, oh dear, you know, is this going to happen? I don't think it's going to happen exactly like he said. I think some of the things are probably going to happen. Other things are subject to speculation. I hope the Dutch Sheets and Mike Evans and others are seeing a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit are going to be right. Just like I hope that Kim Clement's prophecy from 2007 that Donald Trump, or he said a disruptor, would be elected twice. I hope it's right. That's my perspective. I wanted to share it. And I appreciate you listening. I hope that you'll share this with others. There's a great, as I said, there's a great deal of interest in this. And as I wrap up, let me encourage you to go to my website, which is stevestrangbooks.com. That's my name, Steve Strang, the word books with an S, all together like it's one word, stevestrangbooks.com. You can buy my books. There's different bundles, special offers. And every book you buy from that site, of course, is signed by me. And I guess it's not, of course, but except that that's been our policy for quite a while. I signed a whole bunch of books today, as a matter of fact, because some people like to have that. But you can also buy them in bulk because I'm wanting to get the word out. I need your help to get the word out. We need to wake up the body of Christ about what's going on, especially about this election. We cannot be passive. And Pentecostalism has a history of being pacifists, all the way back to World War I. I've talked about this in other settings. Early Pentecostals did not fight in the war. They were against war. And I guess every sane person is really against war, but, you know, we do our duty to defend our country and our values and our way of life. But this feeling of being passive kind of permeates our movement. We're more eager to sing and shout and praise the Lord, all of which are great and all of which I believe in and all of which I do, more than getting out there on the battle lines. But really, if we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, if we believe that we can take authority over the enemy and principalities and powers, then we need to do it. The church needs to rise up, not in a way like these protesters, not even a way that the media would look at us and cover what we're doing, because a lot of ministries have gotten in trouble by, you know, kind of playing for the cameras and stuff, but we need to do it. And my books are by way with the platform that God has given me, the reputation, whatever reputation I have as a Christian journalist, to try to articulate it. It was a lot of work. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into it, but it was my way to try to wake up the church. And I need your help, both to support us by buying the books. They're also available at Walmart, BJ, Sam's Club, places like that, of course, and on Amazon as well. And also to share with your friends. So I'll leave it there, and thank you again for listening to The Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. And tune in again to hear what the other prophets are saying. It was too much to put in one podcast, so I thought I would put it in two. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.